You may follow along with the reading of Samuel 1, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 on page 249 in your pew Bible. Please listen for the word of the Lord. The ark returned to Israel. The ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines for 7 months. Then the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us what we should send with it to its place." They said, "If you send away the ark of God of the God of Israel, do not send it empty, but by all means return him a guilt offering. Then you will be healed and you will be ransomed. Will not his hand then turn from you?" The word of the Lord.
Our New Testament text is from the Gospel of Mark. For those of you who are visiting today or just here on this Sunday, we've been reading through this first chapter of Mark and looking at what it tells us about what it means to be God's people. And this morning we take up probably one of the most difficult aspects of that people struggle with. And that is the issue of what it means to be God's people in terms of being a healing people. And so let us listen for the word of the Lord. As soon as they left the synagogue, meaning Jesus and his disciples, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of the Lord. It was probably his second or third Sunday at the church, and as he was headed out the door, there was one of the ushers standing there, and he turned to the usher and he said, "Okay, when do we get to do the Jesus stuff?" And the usher looked at him and said, "What do you mean?" He said, "When do we get to do the Jesus stuff? You know, the healing, you know, the miracles. When do we get to do that Jesus stuff?" And the guy looked at him and said, "Oh, we don't do that. You just have to believe it happened a long time ago." When do we get to do the Jesus stuff? The guy that asked that question, his name was John Wimber, and who probably doesn't mean much of anything to any of you, but back in the early 60s, he had been one of the founders and was one of the first agents for the Righteous Brothers. He had sort of helped to put together that group early on. He was a successful musician in L.A. and in Vegas. And he'd grown up in a family where no one could remember anyone who had ever gone to church. Not parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, aunts, uncles, no one. And so this whole sort of Jesus thing was new to him. And what had happened is that one of his musician buddies had told him about how amazing Jesus was and had given him a Bible, a great King James Bible. And so he started reading it. And as Wimber tells the story, he goes, "I loved this guy. He talked about love. He did miracles. He healed people. This was great stuff. And so I wanted to know, when do I get to do the Jesus stuff? So, when do we get to do the Jesus stuff? I mean, I think sometimes when we begin to talk about doing that Jesus stuff, doing healing, sometimes the miraculous, it can make many of us a bit nervous inside. A bit nervous because many of us over the years have come across television faith healers who promised miraculous results if we just sent them some money and we just sent in our prayer request, then we could be guaranteed that the healing would take place. One of my favorite, and it's been so long, I don't even remember the guy's name. He was on TV all the time promising these healings, and he claimed that he spent so much time praying over the prayer cards that he got blood poisoning because all the ink had infiltrated his body. Now, it turned out that what he was actually doing was he had his staff open the envelopes, take the money out, and throw away the prayer requests. And so I think sometimes when we think about doing this Jesus stuff of healing, we almost want to sort of stand back from it because it sort of has that kind of reputation. But on the other hand, we don't want to stand too far back because we want to believe that the God in whom we trust, this Christ who gave his life for us, who sent the Spirit into us, that this God has not gone on vacation, that this God has not quit acting in the world, that this God still does amazing things, and that maybe healing, maybe the miraculous, it may be possible. So when do we get to do the Jesus stuff? The answer is we get to do it every week. We get to do the Jesus stuff every week. And we do it in two ways. The first way is every week when you fill out these prayer slips. When you fill them out, and when we pray for them as a community, and when we pray for them on Tuesdays as staff, and when people come in during the week, and I don't know how many of you have gone all the way down the hall and noticed those boards are prayer boards. Those are the list of all the people that we are praying for. For those of you who come in during the week and you pray for those people, that is doing the Jesus stuff. Because Jesus spent incredible amounts of time in prayer, praying for himself, praying for the disciples. There were times when someone needed to be healed and Jesus prayed rather than just, you know, with Simon's mother-in-law where he reaches out the hand and lifts her up and everything's fine, that he prayed for this person. He prayed to God for the ability and the power to heal. And at one point, all the disciples who've gone out on their first kind of mission, their first test run of being disciples, they come back and they say, listen, there were some people we weren't able to heal. And Jesus says to them, no, prayer. Only by prayer. And so we do the Jesus stuff every Sunday when we lift these people. And this is, please God, make Jack's mama better. We do the Jesus stuff. Now, let me say, prayer is not a magic formula. Prayer is not an ironclad guarantee that whatever we pray for is going to happen. It is not a pill that we take that automatically brings results. Prayer is this mysterious connection between ourselves and God. And I know that sometimes our prayers for the miraculous and for healing are not answered in the way we want. As I look out at this, at so many of you, I know this is true. As I look in the mirror at myself, I know there are people for whom I have prayed and prayed and for whom congregations have prayed, and they were not healed until the moment when they took their last breath. And so it would be easy. It would be easy to sort of say, well, you know, it doesn't work. We're not really doing the Jesus stuff. But the other side of my life as a pastor is the number of people who have come to me and said, John, I wouldn't still be here if it wasn't for the prayers of the church. This past week, as I visited someone in the hospital, they said, John, I can feel the strength of the prayers of this church lifting me up and undergirding me, and I am not afraid. Prayer is this mysterious thing, and yet, even when it doesn't work out the way we want, we are still called to let it be part of our life, to do the Jesus thing. That's the first way we get to do the Jesus thing. The second way is simply by being us in this place. Let me explain. Now, I don't know if any of you have noticed, but we live in a broken and hurting world. That every Sunday, people, maybe you, maybe me, we come into this place filled with our fears and our failures, our loss, our loneliness. We come in broken people. And we come in looking for healing. And that's part of what takes place here. It takes place because when we bring our sins with us, our failures with us, we come to this font and we receive forgiveness, which begins to heal us from the inside out. When we bring our loneliness, we see people, we meet people, we begin to make friends, and we know that we are not alone, that we are part of a larger community. When we come with our fears that maybe we are not good enough for whatever reason, what we find is that in this place, we are all accepted, not for what we have or what we do, but we are accepted simply because we are children of God. And we begin to be healed. And then we get to come to this table. This table where we're fed. We are fed with Christ, who says, come to me and eat, come to me and partake, and be made new and whole again. This is Jesus stuff. This is what we do every week. So what happened to John Wimber? He eventually started his own church called the Vineyard Church. And the Vineyard churches are now this great host of congregations around the country. And in those churches, every Sunday, they believe that healing is possible. They believe that you get to do the Jesus stuff. And though we might not quite fit in with the Vineyard churches, I hope we'll believe that this is a place. This is a place where healing can happen. This is a place where miracles might occur. And that even when they don't, we don't give up. We don't give up. We continue to do the Jesus stuff week in and week out because that's what we have been called by God to do. And so my challenge for you for this week, as you go out from this place, is this, is to ask yourself, how am I doing the Jesus stuff? How am I doing the Jesus stuff in this place, where I work, in my home, in my community? Where am I praying and believing and doing the stuff Jesus has called us to do? That we might continue to be the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that even in those moments when we do not understand why some people are healed and others are not, even in those moments, we ask you to help us to remain faithful in our relationship with you, trusting that healing in this life or the next is what you offer to us all. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.